So here we are. How many of you have been all the way through? I mean, you may have missed a few times, but how many all the way through Joshua to this? Yay, congratulations, good for you. And so we're glad the new people are here too. So is there anybody brand new maybe tonight that you haven't been here yet this season? All right, yay! And I happened to sit next to Sue on Sunday. I had no idea. God had a divine appointment. So welcome, Sue. How exciting. I didn't know if you'd been here before or not, but I did wonder. So good. Welcome, welcome. And this is a great group of ladies. I love them. I'm a Friday morning person, but I love Tuesday nights and Denise and all you ladies that are so precious. And I always admire you, especially when I was working here and you girls would come out faithfully. And because I don't even hardly come out anymore than now that I've retired. But anyways, so coming out at night after you've been out all day is quite an achievement. So I congratulate you, and Jesus cherishes you for the extra effort that you do to come out and be a part of the fellowship. So here we are at Joshua 18 through 21:45. Now, if that isn't a long lesson, I don't know what is. But congratulations, and even if you didn't do all of it, I'm basically tonight what I want to do primarily is I told Denise, I don't usually ask if I can teach anything particular, but when we were looking ahead, I said, can I please do the cities of refuge? And well, yeah, why? Who else would want to do the cities of refuge? It sounds a little boring, doesn't it? But it's not, and it's because it's a very special, meaningful chapter for me. But I want to open in prayer, and before we talk about, because what I really want to wrap up with is Joshua's testimony of God's faithfulness, his mercy, his grace, and his promises. And I want to share a little bit of my testimony of God's faithfulness, mercy, grace, and to keep his promises in my life. So let's open in prayer. Father, I do thank you and praise you because you're here. Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, you're welcome. You've welcomed us here and we welcome you. We ask you to have your way in us tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd overcome and overrule the weakness of our bodies, Lord, especially those who got up early and they've spent all day at work and they're here tonight. So will you refresh them, Lord? Will you encourage them? And will, Father, in your faithfulness, I pray that you'd speak to every woman here. Minister something of your faithfulness, of your truth, of your promises to each one, because as the last part of this passage talks about, that God, you are faithful. Not one word will fail of your good promises to us, and how we rejoice and we give thanks and we trust you in that. In your name I pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, so Joshua 18 through 1951 basically is the allotments, God's faithfulness to give each tribe of Israel their allotment. And let it be just said with that, he was faithful. Each tribe had a specific place through the lots that were thrown. God selected a spot for them. In other words, it'd be like God would say, this parcel is yours. This place over here is yours. And so he faithfully allotted to them a place. He had a spot for them, and he has a spot for you. And already you have enjoyed some of the inheritance that you have and that I have in Christ. And so there's physical allotments and there's spiritual allotments, and they enjoyed what God had provided. And what Jesus is saying to you, and I believe what he said to the Israelites, is occupy. Occupy it. Move in. Live in it. And fight for it, because it's worth fighting for. And so that's what he would say to you and I tonight. Occupy until Jesus comes back for us. We don't give up. We don't get weary. We just keep on keeping on because God is with us, and he's going to be faithful to keep us and help us to maintain the lot that he's giving to us. So, but what I wanted to focus on primarily is Joshua chapter 20, which I alluded to, and that's the cities of refuge. And I'm going to sit the water on the floor, otherwise I'm going to drive you crazy, moving it from hand to hand and doing all that other stuff. I'm going to sit it on the floor, and if I get really thirsty, you'll see me disappear. So, at first glance, the cities of refuge seems like, well, what would that be all about? It's kind of puzzling, perhaps, to you. And yet, God had, in his wisdom and in his grace and in his foreknowledge, specifically chose and designed and required by his law cities of refuge, for Joshua to appoint cities of refuge for the manslayer. So he designated six cities, and in a few minutes I'm going to mention the names, the meaning of the names of these six cities, because there is a significance that I feel ties in with my testimony. So these six cities were designed to be a safe place for the manslayer. In other words, for someone who accidentally killed another human being. So obviously there would be a family member or someone who would be an avenger who would be angry, understandably, and there would be hostility. And so they, in that culture, they would have run after, and they wanted the blood for blood, an eye for an eye, and so on. And so God designed and they set up these cities of refuge as basically a safety zone, a secure asylum, if you will, or a shelter, a secure shelter, a hiding place, a welcoming place for this person who was guilty accidentally of killing another human being. In other words, they were responsible for the death, but it wasn't intentional. It was an accidental situation. And so God designed this place for them to run to as a refuge, where the rules were that the avenger of blood could not get into the city. And if when the first person who's fleeing for his life would go to the gates of the city, and he would appeal to let him in, and he would give his little spiel of the reason why he's there. And of course, they would allow him in. Eventually, there would be a court decision. But it looked to me like from the scripture, we had a discussion at Friday at the leader meeting, did the person stay there even if he was guilty until the high priest died? And we kind of came to a decision that yes, he didn't just go free, he had to stay there until the high priest died. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But the cities of refuge became a very personal word of encouragement to me about 12 years ago when I have a son and a daughter, and they're both married, and my son was married, or he still is, and he and his wife had three sons, or have three sons. Well, he was compromising in his walk with the Lord. He loved the Lord, but he had been drinking, and even though his dad, who's my husband, is now with Jesus, he was an alcoholic, and I never thought my son would play around with, would compromise in his walk, but he did. So long story short, one night he felt that he could get home safely after drinking, but he didn't make it. Just a few miles. He had an accident over here in Fountain Valley and ran a red light and accidentally killed the driver in the other car. So here's my son, guilty of manslaughter, careless, yes, irresponsible, yes, unintentional, yes, but he was guilty. And so now I have a son who is in prison, and I began to study the word among a lot of other things as the mother, you can imagine. And I had many women say to me in the church here that except for the grace of God, they have a child, an adult, or it could have even happened to them at a certain point in their lives. And I remember one of the first things my son said to me as we were both shedding tears through the glass over here at Theo Lacey, and he said, "I didn't think it would happen to me." And I hadn't planned to say this, but the Spirit of God is just saying to me, if any of you are compromising and doing that type of thing, fooling around with alcohol, you'll probably think the same thing. It will never happen to me. It did not happen to my husband, who drove home many, many times after drinking and being basically intoxicated. But what did not happen to my husband happened to my son, who basically turned out to be an alcoholic as well. All that to say, we began to walk through the journey of what I call a city of refuge. Now, obviously, a prison today is not considered a safe place, but God had a place for my son. And through prayer and through God's grace and faithfulness, and because of his mercy, God used it in his life to wake him up. And so he was restored in his walk with the Lord. And his wife, bless her heart, stood by him. And his three sons, somehow by the grace of God, got through the difficult place. So Mark found himself in an opportunity to trust God as well as I did and the rest of the family. Because the testimony of God's faithfulness is during the time that he was waiting for the processing and all that in Theo Lacey, which was about 4 or 5 months. It was a long time, and it was crazy. Crazy, the stories. And yet he told me that, especially in those first few weeks, he was just so taken back and so, in a sense, surprised that this would allow him, I mean, that God would allow him. And yet he told me that God loves me too much to let me get by with this type of lifestyle that I was leading. He said he would sing in his jail cell the praise songs to the top of his lungs. He would sing and praise God. And that, of course, was a miracle. So we visited him there. We took turns, different family members, and some of his boys as well. And he pleaded guilty. His appointed attorney did not want him to do that, but he insisted that he was guilty. He did not want a court. And so there's always several times of court trials. I don't want to make it too long, but the idea is that every time he was in court, he would, the best he could, when he had an opportunity to speak, he asked the family to forgive him, and he pleaded on the court's mercy as he pleaded guilty. And so the judge sentenced him what I would say is a lighter sentence, especially when alcohol is involved and you kill another person. This crime is very serious, and it rightly so. I agree. I mean, we were grieved. Someone was in eternity as a result of my son's negligence. And we bled. Our hearts ached for the family, and I spoke with some of them, and Janice spoke with some of them. And we apologized in our brokenness. Later we found out, kind of by the grace of God, that the gentleman who died was in his early 60s. He was single, but we learned that earlier in his life he had given his life to Jesus, which was a great relief to Mark as well as the rest of us. So, but after he pled guilty, it seemed to me like it's been 12 years and numbers kind of, I'm not good with numbers. He was sentenced for about 5 years. And I don't know if you know, I did not know this, but when it's your first offense and you obey all the rules and guidelines, every day in prison is like 2 days. So he served about 2.5 years, which was a miracle of God's grace, really, that he didn't spend longer time there. Grace of God for his wife and children as well. So, again, the faithfulness and the grace of God was poured out on his family, and they stood by him, and by the grace of God, they somehow managed through all that season. Mark was moved to Wasco, which is a very terrible prison. He wasn't there that long. Then they moved him to Jamestown. And we later learned that every time anyone visited him, that when he went back to his cell, they strip searched him. And so the humility that comes with those kind of things. But God was working. God was working in my son's life. And he was using it for character building. He was using it to change his life, really. And so God was teaching all of us. And as a mother, I spent much time in prayer, in the Word, and in intercession, as well as to pray for the family and pray for the victim's family. And God was so faithful to us. He gave me promises, and I can, if I pull out that Bible that's 12 years old, I will find dates in there and significant promises that God would give to me. And Mark was doing the same. Obviously, when you're in prison, you have a lot of time on your hands. And so he did a lot of study. And God gave him opportunities to witness. In fact, when they moved him to Jamestown, he was a part of a Bible study there, and he led a younger man to the Lord. And the chaplain there allowed Mark to baptize this young man on a Sunday afternoon, and I guess it's like a big, huge washtub or something. And so he has testimonies of God's faithfulness, and one I want to share with you, which is kind of interesting. When he was in Wasco, this crazy place and they turned all the prisoners loose into the yard at a certain point. And Mark was, he said he was just, except for the grace of God, he was petrified most of the time because of the criminals that were in there. And you just never know. It's not safe. But yet God is the shelter. God is our hiding place. God is our place of refuge. He said across the yard, he saw this huge fella, big. I mean, he had to be 6'6". And he said he was not only tall, but he was a monstrous guy, and he was tatted from head to toe, and he kept staring at my son. Mark said he was just praying. He was just praying, and he just stood still. Pretty soon, this guy walked across the yard to him and walked by him and said these words as he just continued to walk. He said, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." God is just amazing. He's everywhere, and he's able to do much more than we could ever think or imagine. But it's not a situation that you want to be in. Again, in some ways, I told the widows group that it was harder for me than the loss of my husband, because I knew where my husband was safe. He was with Jesus. He died suddenly, but I couldn't be with my son, but Jesus was with my son, and God took care of him mercifully and graciously, far beyond what we deserve. So I'll jump to the end when I think it was December the 18th, 2010. I have noted in my Bible, I found this one particular mark in my Bible. That was the day that my son was released from parole. He was out of prison, and he'd been out for about a year, and he was released from parole, which happened to be that the 18th of December is his middle son's birthday, and it was his 17th birthday. And the day he was sentenced in the Orange County Courthouse was his oldest son's 15th birthday. These dates are incredible, and they're etched into our hearts and our minds. This last month, Mark and Janice celebrated 30 years of marriage. A miracle of God with all that happened in their lives. I want to tell you the names of the six cities that God significantly designed. The first was Kadesh, which means righteousness or holy. Ladies, Jesus washes repentant lawbreakers, all sinners, with his blood, and he gives them his own righteousness. The next city, Shechem, which means shoulder. I love the thought of Jesus' shoulders. Jesus is our good shepherd, and he carries the wounded, the broken lambs on his shoulders. The next city, the third city, is Hebron, which means fellowship. As I said, plenty of time in prison to fellowship, to spend time alone with Jesus, reading, playing, praying, walking, and I'm sure the sleepless nights of those who run to the city of refuge. The next is Bezer, not sure if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but which means fortress. Jesus is our hiding place. Jesus is our fortress. No matter what kind of storm you are in tonight, Jesus is your fortress. He is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He will walk you through that storm. He will be with you. Jesus is our refuge. Jesus is our protector. He protected Mark those 2.5 years. And graciously, I'll stop for a moment. I didn't tell you that while he was in Jamestown, they trained him for firefighting. He was almost too old. I mean, everybody, all the prisoners called my son the old man. I mean, I didn't think he was an old man, but in relationship to the 18, the 20s, the 21, the early 20s, he was in his 30s. And so he was the old man. But where was I? Oh, then after he was sentenced then, or after he finished his time in Jamestown, we were praying about where they would place him because he was going to be in a fire camp. The grace of God, he got sent to Chino, right out here outside of the Chino prison. I forget the name of it, but there's this little minimum security prison where we were able to visit him. Janice and I took turns. She would go on Saturday, and I would go on Sunday. We could even have picnics. We would have fellowship around the table. We would bring some food in, and we would sit there from, basically, I would usually get there after church at like 1 o'clock, and I would stay till we had to leave, which was like 4:30 or 5 o'clock. So we had all those times to kind of rebuild, and God did rebuild, and God did restore their marriage. And I believe that now all three of his sons are in the process. It takes time. When you take the years, and the critical years, especially his youngest son, the boys were 10, 12, and 14. And I said they got a year older during that first, 6 or 8 months. The critical time of those boys that needed their dad, but God restores. That's the promise. God restores what the locust has eaten, what the cankerworm, and God can make beauty out of ashes. And he is still in the process of doing that. And so God is faithful. And my claim for my grandsons, that God will complete the good work that he started in them, just as he does in me, just as he does in you. We can claim that for our grandkids. If they know Jesus, that God started a work in them, and he's going to complete it. Rest in that. I trust and entrust. I love that, what Cheryl has coined her phrases. Maybe that's something you have heard her say. I know it just stuck in my heart the first time she said it. We need to trust and entrust continuously. Now, I got off track here, but I'm going to go back and tell you the meaning of the next word. But I wanted to share with you that thinking about the refuge, there's a song that we used to sing many years ago, and it's in the shelter of his presence, in the safety of your arms, I will make your love my refuge from all harm. I will cast my cares upon you, find your peace in every storm, in the shelter of your presence, in the safety of your arms. That began to be my hymn of praise during this season with my son. The fifth city is named Ramoth, which means heights or exaltation. God can restore, as I just said, and he can lift up the fallen. He lifted up my son. He's a lifter of my son's head. He's the lifter of our heads. And I like to say sometimes, I have to quote, sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go, cost you more than you ever wanted to pay, and keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. And that is such a powerful truth about sin. And sin, again, is not something we can play with. It's not something we can compromise. I believe, I don't know who wrote that saying many years ago. But when I quoted that, I believe I quoted that in our leader meeting 12 years ago when I came to Joyful Life and shared with the ladies that I needed prayer for myself as the mother, but for my son and his family. And I quoted that scripture because it just penetrated my heart like nothing else I'd ever heard about what happens when we sin. But after I shared that, this precious sister sitting in the leader meeting said, but Glenda, remember that repented sin will lift you higher than you ever thought you could go. And isn't that true? God picks us up. God restores us. God brings beauty out of ashes. The sixth city is called Golan, the Golan Heights, which means rejoicing. Again, Paul says rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We can rejoice, ladies, because Jesus is with us, because Jesus is on our side. We sang it tonight. He's not against us. He is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? Pastor Chuck said about this phrase, about the cities of refuge and about these names of these cities. Christ is our fortification. He is exalted, and we can rejoice in him. Jesus is our refuge, and if we abide in him, we are safe. He is our high priest. He died for us so that we can be free. Remember the death of the high priest. Jesus died for you and for me. He set us free. He set each of us free from our sins. He lifted us up. Yes, the criminal serves time to society for his guilty acts, yet he can still be free spiritually. All the guilt is gone. We've been set free. We have an eternal high priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. Now we are forever free. I want to jump to the last part of chapter 21, the powerful verses there that proclaim the God's faithfulness. God was faithful to keep his promises to Israel. They took possession of the land. They dwelt in it just as God had promised. The Lord gave them rest, as he gives each of us rest, according to his promise. Clear back in Joshua 1:13, and in Deuteronomy it says, where God said he would deliver the kings into their hands, no one will be able to stand against you. I will be with you. That is my son's testimony. That is my testimony. Through the presence of God, through difficulty, through very unsafe situations, God, no one could stand against him, and God carried him through. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. Psalm excuse me, verse 45 of Joshua 21. And I love Psalm 138, verse 2 from the NLT. It says, I will praise your name for your unfailing love and faithfulness, for your promises are backed up by your name. God promises and backs up his promises by his name. I'd like to close tonight with that verse, and I'd like for you to put your name in it. I'm going to read it from the Holman version that says, none of the good promises of the Lord had made to blank failed. So put your name there. None of the good promises the Lord has made to your name failed. Everything was fulfilled. All came to pass. And I'd like to close with that. Father, we do thank you that you are the God who's everywhere present, and there's nothing that can touch our lives, but that you are aware of it and you have a plan and a purpose to take us through it. And Lord, we thank you for the cities of refuge and the lessons that we can learn from it. And Lord God, Jesus, you are our refuge. You are our hiding place. You are the strong tower where we can run and be safe. And the name of the Lord represents all of that. Lord, we thank you that you are faithful to keep every promise you have ever given. You did that for Israel. You've done that for me. You've done that for my son and for my family. Lord, how grateful we are that we can put our name in that promise, that not one word of your good promise to us has failed or will fail. You will complete. You will bring to pass everything you have promised. And in Jesus' name, we give thanks. Amen.